You just got back from Bonn, Germany, site of the UN Climate Change Conference. Tell us, why were you there?
I've been working with the United Nations on the issue of global sand mining. So the global sand mining issue is sort of peripheral to the United Nations climate meeting that occurred in Bonn. What we're trying to do is get a handle on the degree to which the global market in sand is impacting the environment and coastal protection for different areas. And it may come as a surprise to some people that sand is actually a rare commodity that's both traded and illegally trafficked globally. But sand has, in fact, become incredibly scarce in some areas for a wide variety of reasons. And this includes places in the United States. For example, South Florida and Miami use sand to rebuild their beaches, and they've essentially run out, and they're trying to figure out where they're going to get sand from in the future. And then you have places in the developing world where they need sand to use as construction aggregate in the making of concrete. And that sand in some places is very difficult to get a hold of. Places like Singapore, where they need the sand both to make new buildings, but they also use sand to reclaim land because they've built on every piece of available dry land that they have. And the problem with the sand mining is that it's often taken from the places where it's easiest to get. So that can be beaches, you know, important habitat areas within rivers. In places around the world, there have been significant impacts. Morocco, for example, the northwest coast of Morocco has lost tens of miles of beaches that have been removed basically to build buildings. And what's sort of ironic is that they're building hotels and things like that to support a tourist infrastructure that's theoretically coming to enjoy the coast, but they're removing the beach to build the buildings that the tourists would live in to go visit the beach. And what we're trying to do right now in working with the United Nations is to make a first cut at documenting the degree to which this is a problem, where it's a problem, try to establish some sort of international perspective on how we might keep track of this kind of trade and document the environmental damage that's being caused, and try and understand the economics of especially the illegal trade in sand in places where you have much poorer countries that are losing significant sections of coastline to sort of feed illegal import of sand in more developed nations.
I have to say, this is something that's not been on my radar. How long has it been a problem, an environmental problem?
So clearly using sand from places like beaches has been happening globally as long as we've been making concrete for buildings. The problem is that over the last decade, in some places, it's just scaled up so dramatically. It's not being done sustainably, and so the environmental impacts are becoming significant.
How did the issue of global sand mining get onto the UN agenda?
Well, I think that the UN has embraced the issue to some degree because there's been increased media attention, particularly from European news sources over the last 2 to 3 years. There are a couple of NGOs like the Santa Gila Foundation that have been instrumental in documenting sand mining globally, particularly in places like Morocco. And there's been an increased interest and awareness of this in the popular media that has, I think, finally caught the attention of some of the folks at the United Nations. And the United Nations has a group that examines regularly marine pollution. And this particular group last year decided to include sand mining as one of the marine environmental impacts that they look at in detail.
So a bit of context, how did your program get involved in this project?
We were contacted, I guess it's been 5 or 6 years now, by our friends at the Santa Gila Foundation to travel to Morocco to do the first documentation of some of the sand mining that's going on there. And since then, we've been trying ourselves to maintain a fairly qualitative database that's available on the Program for the Study of Developed Shorelines website that shows areas within the world where sand mining is happening. And that database is primarily anecdotal and media reports and some firsthand accounts. It's, you know, it can be difficult to track this kind of issue because a lot of it happens clandestinely, and sometimes it happens at night and on many different scales and in some parts of the world that are hard to get to. So it's, you know, another one of those databases that we've maintained that we're probably the only ones who are interested in obscure things like that. But it's certainly something that's been on our radar for a while. And for whatever reason, especially over the last couple of years, there's been an increased awareness and interest, especially in the European media. And you know, I think that that's really definitely what caught the attention of the United Nations.
You were there on the periphery of a really big conference. What was that like? And do you think you would have had a different experience had the U.S. been at the table?
I definitely think so. It's somewhat discouraging to see the United States of America play a less active role in these global climate meetings, because our role is in fact so important in that we have been responsible for so much of the data collection that's gone on over the last couple of decades. And we continue to be an incredibly important piece of that data collection and the intellectual muscle behind relating the changes that are occurring on our planet to the actions that are causing those changes. Yeah, it's hard to see the United States step back from that leadership role. And it's hard to see that role being filled by other countries. And, you know, you worry that those changes will be long lasting. You know, I also worry from an economic perspective that seeing the U.S. step back from that kind of leadership role internationally will have not just implications for how we deal with climate change as a nation, but we're sort of seeding the development of alternative technologies for energy usage to other countries. And there is a global desire for green energy. Our political class may not realize it, but there definitely is. And I'd certainly rather see the United States have an important seat at that table while those technologies are being developed and marketed and distributed.
Did you hear any comments from colleagues or others about the U.S. not participating?
You know, I think people are disappointed in any of the international meetings that I've attended at the fact that the United States is playing a less active role in from a federal government perspective. And, you know, to be clear, academics are still very much engaged. But from a federal perspective, I think that there's a lot of disappointment. I think that, you know, my international colleagues feel sympathy more than anything else. You know, they understand American politics probably as well as we do. Mostly, I think that there's just concern that the science may suffer.
So you're back. What next? And any thoughts, afterthoughts, takeaway messages?
Well, again, my specific portion of this mission is to work with the UN right now to develop a paper that's outlining the risk of global sand mining. You know, at the end of the day, I try to be optimistic. I think that climate change mitigation, which is meaning using alternative sources of fuel to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases that we're putting into the atmosphere, I think it's going to happen with or without the United States of America. So the main risk to the U.S. is that we're going to isolate ourselves. And I think that there could be real economic implications for us down the road for being sort of cut off from the main developers of that technology and having our government sort of fully endorse participating in the development of that technology and encouraging its distribution within the country.
Any thoughts about the current administration as it relates to the handling of climate change issues?
Well, I guess I worry about it from this perspective. You know, I worry about any time we make an agency appointment that includes somebody who is not going to do really good fact-based decision-making, whether it's within the sciences or, you know, any federal agency or state agency for that matter. I'm not a particularly partisan person. You know, I just want to have good public servants who will weigh the evidence and make an unbiased decision based on what the facts are and what the best thing to do is for the American people. One of the most interesting things about spending some time in Europe is this feeling that most Europeans have, especially Western Europeans, you know, when you're talking about countries like Germany and Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Austria, Switzerland, you know, there's a feeling there that government is there to do good and that government is just an arm of the people. And compared to what we have in the United States right now, where it seems as if many of my fellow citizens view government as being something that was installed by aliens or is really not a part of us. And, you know, I find that perspective really unfortunate because I do think that there are some things that, you know, we as citizens need to do collectively. There are a lot of things that we need to do collectively, and those are things like building roads and national defense. Those are pretty obvious. But to me, it also includes things like taking care of our environment and meeting our responsibilities with regards to taking care of our people when they're sick and taking care of the climate of our country and the climate of the planet. And all of those things, in my opinion, also have economic benefits for a larger society. And you can just see how that works when you're in Germany and Denmark and Sweden. It sort of mystifies me still that there are so many Americans that would rather tear down government rather than find a way to construct one that works for all of us, where we can all get to the same place together. You know, I guess that's, to me, the biggest contrast that I always see when I come back from Europe and come back to the United States. I mean, I think people are all basically the same, and we have the same fears and the same desires. But in Europe, there is this belief that government generally is a positive force. And right now in the United States of America, there seems to be this overriding belief amongst a significant number of our citizens that government is somehow the enemy. And, you know, I don't really know that I understand the root of that problem. And that alienation among some of those people is probably justified. But it's something that, you know, that I see as being very important for us to try and fix and address as a nation. It's hard to solve any of these other really big problems until we can all trust each other and decide that we're all on the same ship.